The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, the day that the women came to the tomb and discovered that it was empty, two of them were traveling to Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with one another about all of these things that had happened. And while they were walking along and talking and discussing with one another, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" And then they stopped and stood still, looking sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him and said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked him, "What things?" They answered him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, before God and all the people, and how our pastors and councils handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that he was going to be the one to redeem us. Besides all that, it's been 3 days since these things had happened, and some women from our group astounded us. They went to the tomb this morning and saw a vision of angels who said that he had indeed been raised from the dead. Some others from our group went to the tomb and they found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and slow to believe. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer in this way so that he could enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, as they walked along, Jesus interpreted to them all the things that were written about him in the scriptures." As they neared the place where they were traveling, Jesus walked on as if he were going ahead of them. But they began to urge him, saying, "Stay with us, because evening is coming and the day is now nearly almost over." So Jesus went in with them. And as they gathered at the table, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And then they said to one another, "Weren't our hearts burning within us as we walked on the road and he opened up the scriptures to us?" That very hour they left Emmaus and went back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and their companions gathered. They were saying, "The Lord is risen and he's appeared to Simon." But then the two of them told their friends how he had met them on the road and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. If you are a young person and inclined to hear the story called Lost and Found about a young boy who finds a penguin and travels back to Antarctica with him, Frida's going to lead. She's going to talk about being lost and found and the road to Emmaus. I should also put a disclaimer in and ask parents to urge your young people to go to the story this morning, because the sermon this morning is chock full of adult themes for a mature audience. Yeah. Yeah, those of you who know me well are going, uh-oh. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen, and thanks be to God. Yeah, Can you picture these people on the road? Their leader, their friend, their coach and mentor, the one in whom they had placed all of their hope, was handed over by the leaders of their own worshiping community to be condemned to death and crucified. They'd heard a rumor that he was risen from the dead, but how ridiculous is that? Somewhere between their despair and this possible con of resurrected hope, they walk on the road away from the city that held promise for their future. The Yiddish language has a word for the state that these two were in as they walked. The word is Meshigana. Can you say that? Meshigana. You know what that is? It's exactly what it sounds like it is. Meshigana. We might say up the creek without a paddle if we were being nice. They were Meshigana. Have you ever been Meshigana? 520 years ago in a previous lifetime of mine, at least it seems that long ago, long before I was a pastor, long before I met Pastor Phil, I met somebody handsome, wonderful, witty, funny, intelligent, and I did what all young women do when they meet such a specimen. I fell head over heels in love, and I was totally beside myself. It was ridiculous. You know that state, right? Who cares about sleep or food or whatever? Only trouble was I was already married. So was he. But I felt so strongly, and I was so sure, and actually my situation was such a mess that he occurred like my rescuer, and I was sure that this was God's plan and promise for me. Only trouble for me was he chose his wife. Duh. I started to have dreams and visions and even nightmares about how he would show up in my life later to rescue me and choose me. And the Yiddish have a word for the state I was living in. Meshigana. Have you ever been Meshigana? Meshigana is a state of human living. I don't think that any of us get out alive without at least traveling through Meshigana. And Meshigana is an awful place because it seems like it has no end. It seems like it is your dwelling place forever, from which there is no redemption. Jesus was not the promised one of Israel. He wasn't coming back for those two on the road. Their hopes were dashed. Their future uncertain. Their religion destroyed. Meshigana. And me? Daydreams, hopes, visions, longing that I would be chosen, knowing I would never be chosen. Meshigana. Have you ever been Meshigana? Interesting thing is, these two disciples who were Meshigana, as they walked along, Jesus came near. He walked right beside them. But they were so Meshigana that they didn't know. They couldn't see. Not because he was in a costume. Not because he didn't look like himself. But because what they wanted wasn't possible in their imagination. That's what Meshigana does to us. But he went into the house with them, and he sat at a table. And as they shared the meal, the grace of God, the possibility of an impossible desired future rested among them. He took the bread and shared it, and as they ate, everything was transformed. If you want to hear the story about how God rescued me from Michigan and brought me to this, that is a very long story. You can click on our website, look up the only sermon that has survived the internet, Lutheran Church of the Cross crash of 2013. It's the only sermon in 2013. You can hear that story. But I'm going to tell you a part of the story that's not there. I was ordained. I was married. I was in love again. I was chosen and claimed. My Michigana redeemed. That's the story of the other sermon. But what I didn't tell you is that I continued to have dreams. The person I had an affair with would show up in my congregation as I was preaching and stand up and say that I was full of it. Or he would show up in my dreams and interrupt our vacation and take me someplace else and finally choose me. Have you ever been Michigana? Like redeemed from Michigana and right back in it. You know, I have a really amazing spouse. I told him everything. He said, "What are we to do?" I said, "I don't know, but I became like a detective." So I got on the internet. It's wonderful to live in the age of modern technology, and scary too. Went on the internet, found him. Turned out he lived not far from where my parents lived. So the next time that we were planning to go see my parents, I talked with Phil, we talked it over. I called him and I asked him if he would meet me for coffee. And he said, yes. Like 10 years later, right, Phil? It's like 10 years later, maybe. We meet for coffee, and I was so scared. Because, you know, on the one hand, there's the possibility that he might choose me, and then I've got real trouble. But who knows what was going to happen in that meeting? We sat down at a table. We broke bread together. We shared coffee. It was Starbucks, by the way. And in the midst of the conversation, I discovered that I didn't like him. I didn't like him. I didn't like who he'd become. I didn't like what he'd done with his life. I didn't like how he was raising his kids. I didn't like how he was treating his wife. I didn't like that he wanted to pick up where we left off. I didn't like him. In the breaking of the bread at that table in Starbucks, Jesus met me. Michigan no more. And this is the power of the risen Lord. He wasn't just at that table in Emmaus. He wasn't just at the table in Starbucks in Sacramento. Jesus, it turns out, is at every table. Have you ever been Michigana? Are you now? There's an easy way out. Well, simple way out. Not easy. Take yourself to the table. Take the people who have betrayed you, hurt you, misled you, disappointed you. Take them to table. Jesus is risen, and he is risen indeed. He resides in bread and in tuna casserole, in sandwiches and coffee, in wine and cheese, in gluten-free things. He resides in popcorn and candy. He resides at table everywhere around our world and everywhere you go. The disciples were headed away from their place of promise to some place of seclusion, some place where they could learn to eke out a new kind of life, and Jesus met them there. I created a liminal space between my present, future, and past in a Starbucks in Sacramento, and Jesus was there. He didn't make me come to church or drag the other guy. He didn't make me listen to sermons or change my thinking. He challenged me to love myself enough to go to table. He challenged me to love the other enough to meet at table. Ours is a fellowship and a life centered around tables. Are you Michigana? Have you been there? I have another question for you. Do you have a table? Do you have a phone, the internet, pen and paper, stamps and envelope? Do you have favorite tables, favorite meals? Find the table nearest you. Jesus is waiting to meet you there. And God, we pray you bless this table. Because when all other tables fail us, this one never does. Jesus, may you meet us here. And might we know your strength and your reconciliatory power, your desire to make us into something new, your dream for us to be restored, the end to the things that plague us, and a way out of the Michigana. People of God, here is bread. Here is table. Here is promise and hope, redemption and future. The way out of Michigana. Grace and peace are yours at the table. Amen.